trepidation! Kernston's medical miracles, new security chief Ilya, and fresh junior scientist Norin are working the graveyard shift. The mundane evening threatens their sanity until a spooky turn of events has them wishing for simplicity once again. What dangers are researched at this proprietor of percolated perception? What sinister horrors await our detached duo? Will the calf ever finish brewing? Find out in Fexian Fun!
Welcome to the Dicey Cantina and this very spooky edition of our show. I am joined by Erica and Rill. Before we dive into things, why don't we do a little bit of introductions? And Rill, as the newcomer, why don't you go first?
All right. I am Rill. I've been on Coruscant Nights. I'm starting a podcast of my own, not Star Wars, steampunk. For those of you familiar with Abney Park, it's their universe. I'm using it as a sandbox.
Nice. Who are you playing tonight?
I am playing Iliat. She is a Dathomirian Night Sister / hired gun enforcer who has ended up having to leave her home planet because between the Separatists and the Empire, there's pretty much nothing left for her there. End result is she has a massive chip on her shoulder, pretty much regarding the entire world.
And what's her couple months been like at her new job, which we'll talk about again here in a second?
Well, her one boss has disappeared. There's rumors she has suspicions. She's been plotting revenge on a coworker that had the bright idea to make some kind of snarky remark about Dathomir and Night Sisters, and is just, in general, very, very prickly.
Okay. And we'll come back to that. But Erica, welcome back. Glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
For anyone who's missed Purgle Company's sabotage episodes, tell us a little bit about yourself, Erica.
I am Erica. Commonly, I refer to myself as Erica Goodwitch. This is my third actual play podcast, or fourth, kind of. I was on the first season of Not Another Tavern, sister podcast to Dice for Brains, which I made it onto the seventh season of. And then I've had a couple of episodes on Coruscant Nights and was part of Pergil Company here on Dicey Cantina. You can find me on Twitter at @TisTheGoodWitch.
Awesome. And tell us a little bit about who you're playing.
I am playing Norin, a Miri Allen junior scientist. Class-wise, that would be an engineer scientist. They are young and inexperienced. They basically get treated like an intern. And they're very wired and anxious because of it.
Awesome. I mean, not awesome, but good job. All right. Well, let's kick things off with the destiny roll. So roll me a force dice, and then let's figure out what our dice pool is.
One dark side.
One light side.
We balance each other out.
I think we're supposed to have three tokens at any given time, so I should roll one, too. I keep forgetting that, because this is my first two-player game. Oh, you have two more light side. You are in luck. Oh, I think I'm getting a phone call real quick. Hello?
Would you care to accept a collect call from
Aurora Biotech? Coruscant.
Okay.
Oh, hey there. This is Dr. Randy Wallwalk from down at Aurora Biotech on Coruscant. I'm here with my lab assistant, Jeff. Say hello, Jeff.
It's Giff, sir. And hello, Dr. Wallwalk. You really need to see.
Who am I talking to?
This is Andrew. I'm here with Erica and Rill, recording the Dicey Cantina. How did you call into a podcast?
Well, I heard what the two of you were up against tonight. Not now, Jeff.
This is really important, sir.
You know, me and some of the other folks around the lab, we all chipped in, and we got you two whole rerolls during this game.
Sir, it's moving. Everybody out of the lab! Everybody out of the lab now!
Everything okay? That sounds dangerous over there.
Oh, that Jeff. He's always joking around.
Jeff! I don't know, that sounds serious.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure there's no such thing as the horse, but may it be with you all the same. Okay, all right. See you later.
Okay, bye!
Okay, thank you. Hello? Hello? Weird.
That was so cool. Like, I've been sitting here pretty much holding my breath because I'm like, oh my god, this is so cool.
So Mark and AJ have donated for Destiny, and they sent over that wonderful message for you guys this evening. And if it's not clear, what they've done is they have donated the $6 level to give you guys a pool of 2 rerolls of your positive dice on a check for this session. So it's 2 altogether. You can choose them like Destiny tokens to use them at any time. But once you've done it twice, it is over, and it's a shared pool. So you can each have one, or, you know, depending on where you're at. What it doesn't change is the negative dice pool. So if you've rolled a despair, you're keeping the despair, but you can reroll the positive dice of your roll and see if you can get a success or get something better. So yeah, it's donate for Destiny this evening. So that's everything. We're all set to start. You guys are both what I've pictured as third shift employees at Kirsten's Medical Miracles, a small and up and coming medical research facility. So it is late at night and there are very few employees around you. I think that Iliot, you know, gotten a few kind of verbal altercations and kind of got moved to the graveyard shift. And Norrin, you know, it's the responsibility of every junior scientist to be there when no one else is, to just watch over the paperwork.
Just the paperwork?
Well, you know, and the few people that are doing the late night research are, of course, coming over to you and asking for calf from the break room.
What? That's like the 5th pot of calf.
I think that's where we'll start this evening. Norrin, you're on your trip to the break room for the 5th or 6th time this evening. No respect is given. And as you walk in, Iliot is there.
Oh, hi, Iliot. I'm just going to be right over here. Cool.
Yeah, I hope you're not taking the last of the calf.
Is that all we have?
That's all that's currently made.
Oh, no, I'm making a fresh pot. You can have what's left of that. I would offer you some of this pot, but it's not for me. And I don't want to get sent here, back down here again before I have to be. And I'm busy myself making the calf.
She raises her eyebrows and goes back to inspecting her fingernails.
What's Iliot been up to in the break room? Just break?
Just break.
How's the security been going this evening?
Very boring. Absolutely nothing's been happening.
You're not the only security officer working this evening. Tell me a little bit about your companion who's on watch right now. Who do you have to work with? Who's your coworker?
Well, at least this one I can trust a little bit. There's one guy that he's just sneaky and always trying to take notes on everybody. I think he might be just trying to see who he can sabotage.
So you trust him more because he's going to sabotage people?
No, I don't like that guy. The guy that's on tonight, he's decent. He does his job and minds his own business.
All right. What's his name?
Sorry, my brain's coming up with silly ideas.
Hit me.
Well, I think his name is Eric, but Iliot tends to come up with snarky names for people, so she tends to refer to him as Karik.
Okay.
Not to his face, usually, unless she's trying to provoke outrage.
Uh-huh.
Although, that's nice compared to some of the other ones. It's just a general allusion to a Star Wars curse rather than being an actual one.
Okay. I think a voice comes over Norrin's comm, and it is Eric the Karik, and he just says,
Norrin, I see on my scanner here that you're in the break room. Any chance you could bring me a cup of calf? Hello? Iliot's on break, so I can't get up there and get it myself. Or you know, I would, but I've got to sit here at the watch desk. But I know you're in there. Can you bring one my way, please?
Norrin spends like 5 seconds looking at Iliot and considering, and then being like, Yeah, I can bring you a cup of calf.
Great. Thanks.
No problem. Just super defeated. And I imagine, like, the calf is just taking forever.
What's Iliot's reaction to hearing Eric's request for calf?
She actually pulls out her own comm and just goes, I really hope you're not about to fall asleep on the job.
Never.
And then he's silent after that.
It's not that she actually thinks that would happen. It's just he's asking for calf.
Uh-huh.
That's usually the reason people around here ask for calf, especially in security.
I believe it. I bet that's his reason. This is a game to roll after all. So, Norin, why don't you roll make calf?
What even would that be?
I'm going to go with it's an easy survival check. It's the closest thing I can think of to make food.
Okay. What is Norin's survival? That is one green die. A single green die.
You're very familiar with the calf machine, though.
Yeah, so you can have a boost. And what's my difficulty?
Just one purple.
Okay.
There probably should be no purple because the machine likes to make calf, but we got to have something in there.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. It might be done such that it ends up
like super watery.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, overdone.
That's totally blank.
It's just a wash.
It's a wash.
Did they roll blank or did they just cancel out?
No, completely blank.
Wow. Okay. So the force is telling me that we didn't need this check at all. But yeah, after a few minutes, the calf machine does its own thing because it's pretty automated. It's almost a little droid-like. And dings with a new pot of calf.
You take the pot out and I pour it into several cups and I put them in a tray and I'm like,
okay.
Ilya steals one of the cups and pours just a little bit of it into her cup and hands it back and says, that's for Carrick.
And how does Norin react?
I feel like Norin had a Sharpie or whatever the Star Wars equivalent of a Sharpie is in their hand and just writes, what's his actual name?
Eric
on the cup and puts it back and then writes the names of the other scientists on there. How many are there? Like three?
Yeah, I think it's about three. You got three scientists. There's two interns that are there this evening, too. But I don't know that you bring them calf.
You mean actual interns?
Actual interns.
Why are they treating me like an intern if there are actual interns? That adds just another level of, like, why?
That is a great question. I don't think that Druckenwell is necessarily a good place.
Or at least not this company.
No. Kirsten's is a little bit mismanaged.
Are they human? Is that why? Is it because they're human and I'm not?
That could be a possibility, unfortunately, because they are an SGI company. An SGI company is an Empire company. An Empire company has a bit of xenophobia to it. Eric's definitely human.
I don't bring the interns coffee.
Okay.
They didn't ask.
At least they know not to ask. What do we think the other scientists' names are?
Derek.
With Eric and Derek. Okay. After Erica, you give me those names. I'm going to need Iliot's nickname for each one.
Yes. I got to make sure I write this down too so I don't forget. Senior scientist. So there's Derek, May, and Marvin.
Okay.
And then the interns are named Chad and Becky.
Okay.
I think the interns are new enough that Iliot hasn't figured out insulting nicknames for them yet.
Okay.
Marvin is definitely Criff Herder.
Criff Herder. Okay.
Derek is Shemp's face.
Wait, I changed it to make it a little bit more Star Wars. It's Shada and Beckel.
Okay.
Marvin, May, and Derek can stay.
Shada and Beckel?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Marvin is Criff Herder. Derek is Shemp's face, and...
Probably not what you guys thought you were signing up for.
May is Scrogger.
May is Scrogger?
Scrogger.
I'm not writing those down.
Right. I mean, we don't have to keep building these NPCs, but I feel like you're going to see them soon. So if you have a desire, you can tell me what their research is in. Or we can move on to calf delivery.
I want you to tell me that.
Okay.
I like how you said okay, and then you're just not going to tell me. Okay.
I engaged my thinking brain of what's there. So Derek or Schlebspace.
Shebspace.
Shebspace, not the Schleb, but Shebspace. Okay. Is researching Bacta, trying to make it more potent. Since his sample was stolen and all of the data was erased of his research, he's kind of had to start from scratch.
Oh, he's the one that got stolen from.
He did. He was the one who got stolen from. May works in exotic flora. So, you know, xenobiology with a plant focus. And then that would make Marvin interested in xenobiology in fauna. So he brings in a bunch of animals from off planet, all in the name of medical research. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to go any further down that rabbit hole.
All right. Now I've got to deliver calf to them after stopping by Eric's desk.
Uh-huh. Is Iliat coming with you? About break time to be over, right?
I feel like Iliat is following behind, and it just makes Norrin even more nervous.
She's following behind with a very full bottle of calf.
Every time the hallway's dark, Norrin's steps just get a little bit faster.
You leave the break room and you head down, and you come to kind of a large, wide, and tall rectangular glassed-in lobby. At the center of it sits a security desk with Eric sitting there in the chair, leaned back with feet propped up against the desk. He's not really moving. Kirsten's has that kind of research feel to it. And what I mean by that is the building itself is largely glass walls instead of, you know, hiding anything. I don't know the other words, but you get kind of the picture of what I mean. There are three stories. The break room's on the first story. So you guys are kind of rounding this long kind of hallway into that lobby area. And you see Eric there just kind of propped up against the desk. You know, it's late at night, so all the lights are kind of off. You know, he's got mostly just the necessary lights on.
Norrin kind of like knocks on the door.
There isn't quite a door.
Or is it completely open?
Yeah, so it's the security desk is on the first floor in the middle of the lobby. The rest of it's open concept. So there's a staircase that heads up that is past the main entrance that goes up to the second and third floors. But the first floor itself is just it's kind of a mall-like, you know, it's just this tile, the security desk kind of right in the middle, and then a couple of plants, but just kind of windowed in glass around it.
Okay, I put the cup of calf down on the counter right in front of Eric, and I, like, knock on the counter with, like, my knuckle.
He doesn't move. He's got his arms folded over his chest and his head slumped down.
I mean, I don't really need to wait, but...
Iliat walks over and smacks him on top of the head. Not exactly lightly, either. It's like a solid thump.
The chair topples over and Eric spills out limp and lifeless.
Lifeless?
He did not react in the slightest. I do take perception checks. It's an easy check. So one purple and then one black. He kind of slumped over as the chair fell over. And he's in that pose where he's kind of on his side, almost like he's laying in a seated position.
I'm going to add another setback die because there's a desk between us.
Okay. Can always add more setback dice.
Oh, I love to add setback dice. That is a failure and a threat.
I got a success and an advantage.
Excellent.
What the Criff Carrick?
Has Norrin seen a dead body before?
No, because they have like really advanced like medical holograms and stuff at school. So there's no need to work on actual cadavers in a sort of advanced futuristic society. Mm-hmm. So, no, definitely not.
So I think for your threat, you're going to take strain, and that's just this sense of dread of he should be alive. You just spoke to him, but he is not. Ilya, what you see is that the kind of back side of Eric's head where he has black hair and things like that actually has a 1.5-inch hole there, and it looks rather hollow inside his head. And this would likely be the reason why he is not moving around anymore.
Well, that's bizarre. Norrin, what did you say they're working on in the labs right now?
Why do you need to know?
It looks like something went into his head and sucked something out of it.
How does Norrin react to that information?
All right, Norrin has just been told that someone has been killed by their brain getting sucked out through their skull, but his skull looks just intact. Like, what do you mean? And I guess I'm going to roll a discipline check to make sure that Norrin doesn't freak totally out.
If you feel that's fair.
Oh, I actually have a yellow in this. That's interesting.
Hey, congratulations.
What's my difficulty?
I think that this is going to be average. It's going to be 2 purple, because I don't know that it's necessarily completely real yet.
That is a failure.
Right. So essentially that was a fear check. So with 1 failure, you're going to be afraid, and you'll just take a setback dice on your next action.
Okay, I will put that setback dice right there so that I know that I have to roll it my next action. Which, I was just asked what kind of creature they're working on up in the labs.
Well, not necessarily creature, just in general, what are they working on? Because this is not normal. It might be a creature, it might be some kind of weapon.
Norrin is like half torn between like having to go around the desk and like check over the body. Oh god, it's a body. That's a body themselves. Or just staying right where they are. Because with the desk between them, it's not so bad. But
yeah,
in order to... Fear of Iliette probably overwhelms fear of body. And I've been asked a question and I need to answer it.
Well, you know for a fact that I didn't kill him because I was with you, not with him.
But that had never even crossed my mind, but thank you.
I love that. I love that Iliette was like, this is my alibi.
You are my alibi now.
You're my alibi now.
Norrin is going to come around the desk and make a medicine check on Eric.
Okay.
Which Norrin actually has at least 1 rank in. And what's my difficulty?
Hard.
So 3 purple?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A setback because I am terrified. A boost because I'm actually putting my knowledge and expertise to use for once. So that actually kind of feels nice, even if it's scary, because that's a body. Why is there a body?
Yeah, went to uni for xenobiology, and that's probably what's going on here. So yeah, you can have a boost.
Yeah, I've got 1 advantage. The dice don't like Norrin, and I'm here for it.
You don't have a connection between the wound that you've seen and any of the research that you're aware of that's going on.
Oh, 2 advantages. 2 advantages.
Okay. So 2 other facts. Getting in a little bit closer to inspect it, you know, coming over your fear a little bit, you see that the bone has been cut in a near perfect kind of circle in such a way that, you know, would be a drill or a bone saw or something like that. It looks like it's been cut and not cracked into. And then from there, also, you see that it is indeed relatively hollow inside the skull now. It's been mushed about a little bit, and the brain matter inside is gone.
Norrin kind of nods and grabs the trash bag or trash can that I assume is under the desk, pulls it forward, and vomits. And then pushes it back, wipes their face, and is just like, Well, it's too precise to have been a creature. Or if it was a creature, it was something that could handle some sort of tool in order to perform this action. I'm going back to the other side of the desk. Norn promptly walks around and drinks the cap that was meant for Eric.
So I'm guessing we're looking at some kind of bioweapon.
Why would we be looking at a bio? I just told you that it was a very precise... Someone did this to him. And they did it pretty quickly because it doesn't take that long to make calf and walk it over here from the break room.
Obviously someone did this, which I would suggest some sort of a laser drill or a laser saw, but you didn't see any signs of what's the term I'm looking for?
You thinking burns?
Yes.
There were no burns.
No, this was a cutting, piercing. No, lasers can do both of those things. I can't words right now, but it's...
So it's Iliad thinking. What is the next step in security?
Iliad's more thinking, well, what are they doing with the brain? Why would they suck out his brain?
Why, indeed. Do you want to roll a medical check or some other investigation?
I would like to roll a lore check.
Okay.
Because she would have some familiarity with potions being a thing, especially thanks to the Ichor and the Waters of Life.
Stand by. I'm going to set your difficulty based on something that I need to look up. Okay, tell me a little bit more about what you hope to have from the lore check.
She is trying to see if she can remember of there being any Night Sister potion that would use the brain of a sentient.
Okay. I don't know that you have to roll for that because I don't know.
Out of character, neither do I.
Yeah.
But it does seem like the first thing that would occur, sort of the thing that would occur to her.
Okay, roll a force dice for me.
A force dice, all right. That'll be a dark side.
All right, so your lore check on brain usage is average.
Okay.
And just so I don't get in too big a trouble later on, what you're rolling and the results are out of character are a lie.
Well, that's two successes and two threats.
Well, the threats are, it's a lie.
Right? That's rather fitting.
So I think, and I have to make this up completely, so everybody who knows more about Dathomir and Night Sisters, I apologize. But what I see for there is Iliad, thinking back, knows of some rituals and potions that do involve brain and brain matter. Those rituals are centered around the idea that the living force inhabits consciousness and the brain is responsible for consciousness. And so there's a way of gaining a deeper understanding and a deeper knowledge of the world by harvesting the consciousness from the organs specifically related to that.
Based on that, she's going to go just looking at, I would like to meet this person.
I just want to paint a mental image of Norin for the listeners at this moment. Norin is like leaning over the desk with their elbows and their hands completely in their hair, which their hair is really short and spiky, so it's just sort of like that sort of look, and disassociatingly staring at Eric's body. And so when Iliac says that, their eyes just sort of snap to her like, what?
It's possible this person may be from home or have some connection to my home. Although I'm not sure that I've heard of anything using done quite like this.
Norin's just staring at you.
It's usually used using animal brains.
Derek comes over the comm.
Norin, are you bringing that calf? Norin, where are you? I really need my calf, please. Quickly, please. It doesn't take that long to make calf and walk it here.
Iliad pulls out her comm again and says, you're welcome to the calf if you want it, but I'm pretty sure it has druck in it. And I mean literal druck.
What? I don't understand. Is the calf coming?
Hey, Derek, there's a body up here in the front, by the Eric's dead.
What? Dead?
Yes. 100%, without a doubt, irrevocably dead, and his brain is gone.
Are you joking right now?
Do I often joke?
I don't know. You normally bring the calf, and you're not bringing the calf, so is this... Are you getting back at me? I don't understand.
I'm being 100% serious. Someone, within a matter of minutes, or something, surgically drilled a perfectly circular hole into Eric's head and vacuumed out his brains, and he's dead.
Eric, the security guard at the front, had his brains vacuumed out, and you are not bringing the calf.
I feel like something should be having a higher priority over calf right now, and that is the fact that one of our co-workers is deceased.
There's a burst of static, and the comm line goes dead.
Hey, Nerf Herders, what were you working on that was stolen when What's-Her-Face disappeared in the sewers?
There's no reply on the comm.
Oh, I had a bad feeling about that.
She sighs, rolls her eyes, grabs Norrin by the back of the lab coat, and starts walking them both over to the left.
There is a lot of waving of arms and shuffling of feet, and like, you could just, this is very ungainly, and I am usually ungainly, and this, it doesn't need to be like this. Can we just walk to get, and like, tries to pull themselves free?
Where are you heading, Iliot?
To the closest lift. Heading up to, up or down to whichever floor the lab's on.
So Derek, are you heading to Derek's lab, May's lab, or Marvin's lab?
Derek's lab.
Derek's lab on the third floor. So third floor, middle of the hall. Do you let Norrin break free, or are you...
No, of course not. And it's not like... The only other thing in her hands is her calf, so... No, not a chance.
Okay. So you guys arrive at the lab door to Derek's lab, and each of the lab doors have a keypad where they are locked. You're on kind of a pseudo balcony to it. So, like, you know, Kirsten's is encased in kind of this large window space to it. And you can see each of the floors kind of like a hotel suite or something along those lines. And so there's a railing and you can see down to the first floor from the third and second floors. As you're standing there, the door to the lab is locked and it's dark inside.
Iliot groans in annoyance and turns to Norrin. Unlock this.
Of course. And Norrin kind of like pulls their lab jacket down after it's been like rumpled by Iliot and waves their hand.
You get a little security badge.
My little security badge over the touchpad.
You get a error message. Red.
Slower this time.
Red.
Just press it.
Turns red, and then I flip my dark side token.
Oh no.
And all extraneous lights in the building off. The red emergency lights blink on, and a crash door comes down over all of the windows, and an alarm begins to blare. The computer system of Kirsten's Medical Miracles has detected nefarious malware within the system, and the server has put the building on lockdown. Iliot, the one thing you know about this from the security training is that there's no way to exit the building until you reset the server after purging the malware.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, indeed.
Shadda comes on the comm.
What just happened? What's going on? Hello? Is anyone out there?
Iliot gets on the comm and says, apparently we've been infiltrated. I suspect our thief may have returned.
Shadda, where are you right now?
Well, do I tell them? I don't, but we're on the second floor. I mean, I'm on the second floor.
Right.
Is Beckle with you?
Beckle? No. Probably. I mean, no. Not here.
Are you guys in the broom closet again?
already know. Well, when the alarm happened, I grabbed Beckel and we went in the closet just in case there was something scary.
Well, there's definitely something scary. So, like, block that door and just hang tight.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. And I hang up.
Let's make a vigilance check now.
I'm sure that's going to be just as fun as all the other checks.
So this is a hard check with two setback.
Can I get a boost because we know something's going on?
Yeah.
So we're kind of on high alert.
You got some heightened senses going?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that.
A boost because I got to protect the baby interns.
Yeah. Okay.
Who were totally not making out.
Not at all. I think they covered nicely. So what do we get?
4 threat.
And I got 2 failures and a threat.
Okay. Both of you roll a force die for me real quick. Or if this vigilance check is very important to you, don't forget that you do have rerolls from the Donate for Destiny.
Oh, yeah.
I like how the dice are treating Norin.
Okay.
No. And I got 2 light side points.
I got 2 light.
Hey! 4 light side points.
Digital high five!
Woo!
You both have 2 light side points?
We got like 5 threat for you to do something with.
Yep. I'm doing a thing. I'm just deciding through game mechanics what happens next. All right, Ilya, do you have melee defense?
I do.
How many?
1. Why do I have a bad feeling about this? This looks like it's gonna hurt.
As long as it hurts you and not me. What? You're the beefy one. You're meant to take hits. I'm the brainy one. I'm supposed to be cowering behind you.
So with the klaxons blaring and the emergency lights being the only illumination and everything's turned red, it's very difficult to see anything. And out of nowhere, Iliad, something falls on the back of your head and shoulders and slices down your shoulder and does its 6 damage, and there is something on you now.
I yelp and spin trying to see if I can shake it off. And as I do that, I'm summoning my Duskblade because that is my ritually prepared item.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to make a hard upgraded once brawl check to try and shake this off.
All right. Can I get a boost where it's literally on me so it's not really going to be able to dodge too well?
No, you can have a setback because it is holding on to you with some claws and it's in the awkward place on like a backpack on the back of your shoulder and head.
Oh boy.
I feel like this is a reroll moment.
Yeah, I think I'm going to use one of the rerolls for that because, this feels like it could be way too bad if I fail it.
Well, hold on 1 second. First, tell our listeners what you got.
I got a failure and 2 threats. Considering what's been happening, I'm not convinced that this is not what killed Carrick.
Yeah. So you can reroll the positive side for the rerolls.
Can she spend a light side point to make that green die a yellow die too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I will.
So the 4 failures and 2 threats of your negative dice pool stay, and you can reroll the positive dice pool.
Well, that will bring me to 1 failure and 1 threat.
This reroll is brought to you by Donate for Destiny. It didn't help, but thank you anyway.
This failure to succeed, it said reroll, is brought to you by cursed dice. Or maybe it's just spiteful dice.
Spiteful dice have taken you, and you have a threat. And for that threat, you feel something on the back right of your head that's about the size of a coin pressed there. But before anything else happens, Norin, you have a turn.
Norin is going to see this happening and look desperately for something, and then out of sheer panic adrenaline, just try and seize it and throw it off.
Okay.
So I guess that is a melee check, melee brawl check.
Yep. So you got the same dice pool to it. You've got a red and 2 purple and a black. This black dice is brought to you by the fact that it is really hard to see what is going on.
I'm going to upgrade one of these green to a yellow and spend a destiny point. I want a boost for adrenaline.
I'll give you a boost.
And another boost, because if I succeed, this will be really cool, actually.
Negative. It will be very cool if you succeed. And all the cooler now that you don't have that extra boost die.
Okay. Three threats.
Three threats. Okay. So, Norrin, make a average resilience check.
It's two failures and two advantages.
Okay. So, Norrin, as you swipe kind of wildly at the back of Ilya to try and figure out what is going on, that there's something clearly on her, and you can't quite make out what it is. There's this chaos of things. As you're swatting at it with your hands, you feel a cut, and you take 5 wounds. This cuts on your hand. And for your advantage, what you know about it is you've pricked yourself with neurotoxin once while you were at university, and this feels exactly the same.
I'm going to step back, kind of holding my freshly cut neurotoxin hand down at my side, because I don't want it to flow up my arm any farther, and I'm going to dig in my pockets for my packet of antidotes, and I'm going to shout to Ilya, try and stab with your sword that came out of nowhere right between your shoulder blades.
Like through her chest?
No, like up above her head and down.
Though this mysterious thing gets a turn first. One of the things you guys can do with tokens, depending if you want to, is upgrade attacks made against you, which is what is about to happen. You want to flip another token, you can turn the purple to red if you want. You don't have to.
I'm actually going to use my Rank of Fearsome.
Okay.
Because this thing is engaged with me.
Yes. What's Fearsome do?
When an adversary becomes engaged with this character, may force that character to make a fear check with difficulty equal to Ranks of Fearsome.
Okay. How many Ranks of Fearsome do you have?
I only have one rank, but sometimes rolls dice get cranky.
Yeah, it is definitely afraid, and that gives it a black dice until the end of the encounter. And now it has a turn. So you have that natural ability, which is great. And you have a rank in melee defense, yes?
Yes.
All right. So what did we got a success and a threat for whatever is on your shoulders.
Oh, lovely.
So you're going to take 5 damage, and you're going to ignore soak on all of that. It is a pure 5 damage. There's this pressure and cutting feeling in the back of your head.
Ah!
It feels like something's kind of sawing. There's this circular motion back there. And it hurts a lot.
She is going to scream.
Uh-huh. It's your turn.
Yeah, I'm going to do a defensive stance maneuver.
Okay.
And then I am going to take my knife, my dusk blade, and try to stab over my head at whatever that... Actually, no, I'm not going to be going over my head. I'm going to be slipping it kind of under the side, under where it feels like it's drilling at me, and try to cut that part of it off.
Okay. For the threat that was rolled, you can take a boost dice on that action.
Yay. 2 success, 2 advantage. And let me check. Yeah, that's going to be enough to crit.
Okay. What's your damage?
8 plus 2 success. So that'll be a 10 damage plus a crit. And I have... It starts with Pierce 2 plus Ichor Blade is another Pierce 2.
Okay.
So I believe that would be ignoring 4 points of soak.
If it had that much soak, it would ignore all that soak. So for the critical, you have winded it. You hear this squeal, this kind of high clicking sound of this creature clearly being in pain, but the pressure and the cutting stops. But it is still on your back. And Norrin, you get a turn.
I want to make a xenology roll
Okay.
Oh, I actually got a second advantage with that, or a third advantage, because I said auto advantage from Superior.
Okay. You can pass a boost dice to this.
Yeah, I'll pass a boost to this.
They see it a little bit clearer now. There is something that was shimmering about it that's not doing that now. And so you can make out the shape a little bit more.
So I have a boost die from that?
You have a boost dice from that. And then the zoonology check on it is 4 purple. But your other benefit of having that boost dice now is actually there were supposed to be 2 setback that aren't on there either.
Well, I would have removed those setback anyway, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
I have 2 ranks of researcher, which allows me to remove setback per rank from all knowledge checks.
Okay.
And it also says researching takes half the time, which I'm not doing any researching right now, so. Okay, it's 1 success.
It's just 1 success?
It's just 1 success. But hey, it's a success!
Okay.
You shouldn't be that happy over just 1 success.
Succeeding is a great thing here. It's been a little difficult for you guys this evening, and it's gotten a little dangerous. So what Norrin remembers is that on the list of xenobiology animals that Marvin is researching, there was a very obscure one from the moon Fex out in the Char Court system. The Char Court? I don't know how to say it. It is in the deep core. And there is a predator that has been very recently discovered on that moon called the Fexian Skull Borer. The creature has kind of an insectoid body that they use active camouflage or some other way of kind of masking themselves, making it very hard to detect them. They're relatively small. They're not very heavy, and they seem to hunt with their habitat of the trees by dropping down from them onto their prey. And they have a diet of brain matter. And there was one in Marvin's lab in the basement. Although there's probably not one there now.
Okay, I know what this is. It's a Fexian skull borer. It's probably what killed Eric. And Marvin had one in his lab. It's probably this one. Do I remember any weaknesses about it? Or
unfortunately, you don't.
Maybe try cutting off its legs so it'll like not be able to latch itself onto you. Oh, also, it has a neurotoxin.
Oh, yes, it does. Iliat needs to make me a average resilience check.
Iliat groans. It says, well, I assume that we won't have to worry about Criff Herder anymore. 2 successes.
So when you cut, you avoided all the spines that are on the back and sides of the Fexian skull borer.
Well, I mean, it does make sense because she's not actually touching it. She's using knife to try and get under. So
yeah. And it, it's its turn. So it, what does it do? It releases its grips on Iliat's shoulders and leaps from her back over the railing to the side on a path to take it down to the first floor and disappears underneath the view of the catwalk, or disappears from the view of the catwalk.
Norrin lets out a breath that they didn't realize that they were holding and then rushes over to Ilya like, oh, are you okay? I can help you take care of all that. Here's some antidote for the neurotoxin. And then I have some stim packs. To maybe some Bacta would help with the wounds?
I don't think we have enough time for Bacta. That thing needs to die, but the stim pack would be helpful.
Okay, well, here you go. And I hand her 1 stim pack, and I will take that out of my equipment.
So you guys have malware in the server that is trapping you in the building. You have a Fexian skull borer on the loose. An apex predator from the moon Fex in the deep core, and it has just disappeared.
And we have these interns
uh-huh.
that I suppose we have to keep alive somehow.
Well, not even just the interns, there's the other scientists. We don't know if anything happened to Derek. And what about Dr. Marvin? It was in his research lab that this thing was in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Criff Herder is out of the picture. I mean, clearly he didn't contain this properly, so I'm pretty sure he was its first dinner.
So where do you guys think you're heading next?
I think we should go to Marvin's lab.
I think we should go to the second level and check on the interns first. It's on the way.
Are you splitting the party, or are you...
Oh, no, so that's a terrible idea. Then I would be on my own, and I don't have anything to, like, defend myself with.
So how do you guys make your way to the second floor, then? Assuming that you're going to go to the second floor. You can also discuss your plans if you wish.
I'm going to start heading toward the lift again. I think that's going to be the quickest way to get there. Oh, wait. No power.
Mm-hmm. There is a set of large, you know, stairs next to where the lift is.
Yeah, well, stairs, find the interns. Then we can check on Marvin, but I don't think that's quite so urgent at this point.
So as you guys head down the stairs and kind of around the corner to the hallway and make your way down that way, towards the end of the hall is the broom closet. But before you even really start down that way, you're a few steps off the stairs. You can see that the door to the broom closet down there is wide open.
They never do what they're told. And I go running off down towards it.
What the criff are you thinking? And she follows because clearly this not intern is about to get herself killed.
No one said that Norrin had any survival instincts.
They soon learn that it is fine. Because as coming to kind of a sliding halt at the end of the hall where the broom closet is, it's just empty inside.
Norrin goes on the comms, paging Beckle and Shada. Where are you guys?
We heard screaming. We heard yelling. And we're trying to find a way out.
You heard screaming and yelling and you left your safe space? Okay, whatever.
It sounded pay close.
Well, yeah, it was the floor above you. It was me and Iliad. Pay attention.
Why were you screaming?
Because a Fexian skull borer attacked us. I'm pretty sure it's what killed Eric, the security guard.
It killed Eric?
Yes. Pay attention. And have either of you been able to get in touch with any of the senior scientists?
We haven't thought to try. Do they know? They know about Eric? Is he okay?
No, Eric is dead. I tried to tell Derek, and Derek was far too focused on the stinking calf than on the fact that I was telling him someone was dead.
What do you expect from Sheb's face?
Oh, the force! It's honor! Oh, what's it doing? Oh my goodness, I know!
Punch it!
There's a burst of static.
They went to find a way out.
Yes, clearly they went to find a way to become dinner.
Using my intellect, which way do I think the interns went?
Using your intellect of the things that have transpired so far, you knew that the Fexian skull borer leaped down to the first floor. That the area around you is in lockdown, so all of the emergency exits and all visible exits are locked. There is a path that you can get down to the basement from the first floor with a set of stairs behind a door. And that's probably what you would know. And then you might remember hearing some stories about the fact that someone who used to work here made their way from within the building to the sewer.
And that's where the interns headed, because the interns love all of those stories. Okay, pretty sure we need to go this way.
Which way?
Towards the basement.
Towards the basement.
Yeah, that's probably the best option at this point.
How are you proceeding? Describe for me kind of the trek to the basement. So you would come down the stairs, basically where the stairs come out on the first floor. There's a door that opens up to a set of much less nicer looking stairs, a concrete kind of emergency exit style that heads into the basement.
I pull out my neuroparalytic and I hold it in my hand, ready to stab it into anything that falls on me or Iliette, and I'm sort of keeping my eyes up on the ceiling.
Okay.
Yeah, I am keeping a close watch as we move, not just on the ceiling, but on the walls, especially the upper walls, watching for things like vents that it might be able to climb out of.
So as you walk the halls of the basement, it's not a particularly huge basement, but there's a couple labs that are down there that you know about. And then, of course, IT keeps the server down there. It has kind of its own break room as well. You can hear some skittering sounds, but you don't see anything immediately, although you can roll your vigilance if you wish.
Yeah, I'm going to roll.
I wonder if the dice roller will do better than the click-clacks.
What am I rolling against?
It's two purples and a red with two setback at this point.
I want a boost because we know what we're up against and we know what we're looking for.
I was going to say, yeah, plus another one for heightened adrenaline.
And a boost for adrenaline.
A boost for adrenaline and a boost for the fact that you're looking in the right place.
Yeah, that we know what to look for.
Yep.
All right, then. Three successes and a threat.
Zero successes, but one advantage.
All right, so coming out of the door to the bottom of the stairs, to your right and left are doors that are relatively close by that are locked lab doors again. On your right, further down the hall, there's a little pool of light that's coming out from what is the break room. And kind of in the doorway that leads into that break room off the hallway, you can see a pair of legs laying on the ground. Additionally, what else is down there is the server room, and that is where the hall is just a straight shot to the back to a concrete wall, and on the left, almost against that back wall, is a small door that would lead to the IT closet. So, I apologize. There, for three successes, you can hear a little bit more of those skittering noises are coming from the break room.
I thought you said they were trying to find a way out. How did they think they were getting out from the break room?
One of the legends about Nina disappearing said that she disappeared into the sewers through a access point into the sewers from the server room.
Do they really not know the difference between the server room and the break room? She starts muttering about idiots and how she's surrounded by idiots. All this book learning and no common sense among them.
There's a pair of legs. Do we know whose legs they belong to yet? Or whose body they belong to yet?
They look like Beckle's legs.
They look like Beckle's legs. Oh, poor Beckle. Okay, Norrin is going to creep forward to peer into the server room, despite their misgivings.
Could we tell from the skittering noises what direction that was moving?
You were hearing the noises in the break room. You know that you have a basically concrete wall underground, right? Because this is a basement.
Mm-hmm.
You see a part of a victim from the break room hallway on the right hand side, and then you're hearing some more noises in there. And you haven't heard anything else from Shadow.
I'm going to head toward the break room because it does no good to get the server's room dealt with and this thing get the drop on us, this thing be able to get out, and then everybody on the planet dies.
That's security thinking for you. Let's roll a stealth check at both of you, because the server room is past the break room.
What's the difficulty?
It is one red.
Oh,
no!
Perfect.
Oh,
well,
no.
Well, I mean, you did stealth.
You did.
We both stealthed well, all right. I got a success and an advantage.
And Norrin?
I got a success, three advantages, and a spare.
Sorry, I just got the weirdest, just the dumbest idea for the despair.
Oh, all right, tell me.
She's so focused on stealthing past the skull borer that she walks headfirst into the door. And it, you know, it's thick enough it doesn't make much noise, but...
So the challenge here is that I had you roll stealth, and you both have succeeded at your stealth roll.
With advantage.
With advantage, but there's a despair. So yeah, so I think that there's, you know, just a kind of a cart of used computer parts outside the server door. And as you're paying attention to make sure that nothing can hear you as you, Norrin, as you stealth past the break room, you knock over that cart of computer parts. And the skull borer makes a break for it, having been startled. And it's heading right for you, Iliad. You have an action, and then we may or may not have initiative, and we'll see what happens there.
I'm going to try to stab it.
All right, go stabby stabby on this guy.
Mm-hmm. Because this guy needs to die. Can I use my advantage to get a boost?
Yeah, that'd be fine. And you do have tokens.
What?
Well, what'd you get?
2 failures and 4 advantages. What?
I like it.
Yeah. Or you do have...
another reroll.
One more reroll.
Yeah, I think I'll use the reroll.
So you got 2 failures on those on that negative dice, and you can reroll your positive.
This reroll is brought to you by Donate for Destiny.
Do I want to flip again?
Yes.
You know what? Yes, I think I'm going to flip.
Your life might be easier if you kill this thing.
Hey!
Well, so that... So that is the successes and the failures cancel out. 9 advantages. What the heck?
No, just 5. Just 5 advantages.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 5 advantages. Yeah, but still, 5 advantages and no successes.
No successes with 5 advantages.
What the heck?
So I think that you essentially have, you've swung your dusk blade. I think that you swipe at it and you kind of catch it with the side of the blade instead of the blade itself. And so it kind of spins away from you on its back and you've knocked it prone.
Yeah, and probably fell into the computer parts.
Yes, if you would like that.
Yeah, because my logic is if it's in the computer parts and it tries to get up, then it's just as likely to trip over a computer part.
Yeah. So Norrin, it is right at your feet.
I grab a computer part and try and smash... No, wait, no, I have my neuroparalytic. I'm going to try and stab it with my neuroparalytic.
I like the idea of you smashing it with a keyboard, but yeah, let's go with the paralytic. So that's just an injection, right?
I believe so. It doesn't really have a...
Okay.
Stab it not helpfully.
I think that it is essentially a maneuver to stab that in there, and then it makes its resilience check, and you can go with an action after that.
Oh, okay.
So it gets a failure and 2 threats. So that paralytic works its way in, and it is immobilized.
Nice.
So you don't need to roll initiative. You both can have an action before it can do anything.
Smash it with the keyboard.
Smash it with the keyboard. All right, roll that brawl check.
That is 2 successes and a threat.
2 successes and a threat. So we're saying the computer parts are an improvised weapon that is providing +2 to your brawn, which is 2. So you get to do 4 damage. How many successes did you have?
2.
So it's not out of the woods yet, but it's not looking good. Iliad, how do you finish this thing off?
I'm going to come over and stab it in the face.
Okay. You don't have to roll this. It's so close to dead that narratively, this is the moment.
Yeah, she just stabs it in the face and then just starts shredding it.
So one stab isn't enough.
No, it's more she's going to stab it. And then once she, and then just start by hand at this point, she's going to grab its mouth and just yank.
Okay.
At like the, what is it? The mandibles?
Yeah. I don't think I described this because it wasn't in the role, but it has a thing called a boring proboscis.
Yeah, that's getting ripped off.
Yeah, okay.
Just in case it, you know, she's pretty sure it's dead, but this is a just in case moment.
Yeah. So there's kind of this squelch sound and this little kind of dying shriek from the skull borer, and then kind of an eerie quiet as the emergency lights turn both your skin red in the light, and there's just this kind of moment of peace as you stand there eye to eye, having vanquished the skull borer. And who's got the line that takes us to the credits?
Let's get this server room dealt with, and then I think I'm going to take you up on that Bacta.
Did I just destroy property with property?
Honestly, considering that that thing was a menace to the entire community? Are we sure this was legal property?
Yeah, but you know how this planet is.
Well, then, why don't we just let ourselves out, torch the place, and be gone?
Oh, goodness.
We don't even know if the senior scientists are dead or not. But, maybe not. No. No. Nope. 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 Mm-mm. Nope.
I mean, we can check level 2 if you want. I'm pretty sure Shep Space is dead. I don't see any way that Criff Herder's still alive.
I like this idea that both of you have come to the conclusion that it's time to leave Druckenwell.
Oh, this is not just it's time to leave, even about leaving Druckenwell in general. It's just, let's just burn everything here. In case they decide to bring another one of these little monsters.
What if they already have one of these little monsters? Or something similar to these little monsters?
All the more reason to burn it. If we can burn it before it gets out, then it will never get out like this one did.
Norn pulls their datapad out of their pocket and type in a quick letter. Norn takes a picture of the skull borer and attaches it to the message. Consider this my 2 weeks notice, and sends it off to Kirsten Medical Miracles. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to go.
Thank you for joining us on this special episode of the Dicey Cantina, and thank you to Erica and Rill for playing. Also, we want to thank AJ and Mark for donating to Donate for Destiny. You can find out more about Child's Play Charity and Donate for Destiny by going to diceycantina.com/destiny. I also want to thank Adam from Force Majeure for chipping in to help me get this episode edited. I literally wouldn't have been able to release this without your help. For everyone else, come join us at the Nightcast Creative Discord server, where we can talk podcasts, Star Wars, or Clone Theory. Or check us out at our monthly live streams on youtube.com/thedicycantina. That's all for now, and until next time, pull up a stool, and we'll see you in the Dicey Cantina.
Picture a world where the gods have grown bored and fickle. Picture a world where reality shapes itself to their whims and desires in the search for entertainment. Picture a world where everything's a stage and the common folk merely players. Into this step the professional champions, heroes by trade and vocation, fighting to protect those in need. Some do it for gold, others for glory, but they all know that they are the thin line between the chaos of the gods and the safety of the world. And they also know this: if there's one thing the gods demand, it's a good performance. Welcome to Dungeon Majeure! Dungeon Majeure is an actual play Genesis podcast on a homebrewed world with some very homebrewed heroes. Starting on Wednesday the 14th of April and releasing weekly, find us wherever you get your podcasts, and join us on the social medias under the banner of our parent show, Force Majeure, which is at Force Majeure Pod. So strap on your sword, fill up your tankard, take a seat by the fire, and get ready for the show.